I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Robbie Weekly.
Little reverse pass.
Hey everybody, Gavin Casey here. Hope you're having a fantastic week. You're very welcome to the 42 Rugby Weekly. It's been a mad week here as we've reflected on Ireland's second successive Six Nations title and begun to peer ahead to the summer tour of South Africa. Bernard Jackman joined Murray Kinsella and me on Rugby Weekly Extra on Monday to give his assessment of Ireland's campaign, which wasn't all glowing, it should be said. And then on Wednesday, we had a Rugby Weekly debutante in the shape of another former Leinster and Ireland hooker, James Tracy, who gave us an expert rundown on Ireland's set piece as well as his own slant on the country's 16th ever Six Nations title. Here's a little flavour of what we got into on Monday with Birch. Firstly, he asked a few questions of Ireland's attack, while Murray applied some context to Ireland's latest title success.
I just think our attack looks a little bit more predictable, or certainly the England and Scotland were able to frustrate us much more than we were early in the tournament or even back into the World Cup. So that's obviously a little bit of a worry, but obviously Goodman is coming in there and maybe we can start to change it up slightly. Obviously it's a very effective attacking game, but I just felt over the last 2 weeks we've struggled to ask the same questions of defenders that we had previously, and obviously defenders are managing us much better. I thought Scotland came with a clear plan defensively to choke us and hold us up, and it worked and we really struggled to break them down. Obviously against England, with that kind of extreme blitz that England are bringing in now, we were able to get around them 3 times, 2 for tries. So there's nothing wrong with our skills or our understanding of that. But when Scotland just kind of kept that line integrity and just made the ruck a real mess, or the tackle area a real mess, we were pretty average. I thought we looked pretty average, to be fair. I felt we looked a little bit lethargic. And if I was a provincial coach, I'd be kind of worried. I'd be trying to get the right balance between rest and work over the next 3 weeks as they go into Europe. But look, we had to beat Scotland to win a championship, and we did. And the team deserved massive credit for that. But I wonder what kind of shape they'll be in May, late May.
I was wondering, Birch, based on those kind of perceived energy levels, to what extent that might be down to the fact that Andy Farrell has insisted, and certainly did to the players behind the scenes, that this is not the start of something new. This isn't a new Ireland team. This is the continuation of a journey. And actually, the fact that the World Cup wasn't that long ago, and if it was a continuation from that, just as a kind of a 6-month package in the players' minds, that's a pretty tiring, taxing experience. And it just felt like they were kind of running out of steam, maybe running on fumes really towards the end. And I guess if the World Cup was kind of like part of that deal, that actually makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look at it, and it has been a tough tournament, even with the extra fallow weeks. And in fairness, Ireland don't overtrain. They really treat that rest week as an opportunity to recover. But it's just hard emotionally, mentally, I think, physically, to be at your best every week. So I totally understand. I mean, you know, England, France, you know, they started very slowly, I would say, but finished strong. We had the points in the bag, you know, after 3 weeks, to meant that we were in a really good place. So look, I think Ireland is it's another significant win for this group. But just in terms of the overall performance over the last 2 weeks, yeah, it looked like we were kind of hanging on at the end. I don't know what you guys think.
What did you think, Murr, having rewatched it after Saturday?
Well, overall, I think it's an excellent achievement to win this championship. It was definitely a sense of continuation, even though there's new elements to the side. And as we discussed, it's a slightly remodeled team with a big change there at out half, and Joe McCarty coming in and Calvin Nash coming in, and those changes to the team. But it very much felt like the only goal here was just to win the Six Nations, retain that title, try and chase a back-to-back Grand Slam. And I think people's disappointment that there wasn't more fresh faces in there probably ignored that fact. They just wanted to go and win that title, and then the whatever process of evolution is to come is is more likely to happen later in the year, probably in November, let's be honest, because Ireland are going to go and try and beat the Springboks in the summer in a two-test tour, and it's probably not the place to be experimenting too greatly. But yeah, I think it is an excellent championship. It's weird because the statement performance comes right at the start, but it's so easy to forget how heavily that was praised at the time, how big the concerns were before that game, people talking about Ireland having a really tough night and maybe a tough championship. I certainly had trepidation around this championship because they were losing Sexton and he was such an integral figure, and because I worried they might not be able to get over the disappointment of the World Cup. And remember where we were, I suppose, coming in. We were talking about players being out of form and looking lethargic for their provinces, but they pitched up in a big way in that first weekend. I thought they played really well against Italy. Funnily enough, actually, Andy Farrell thought that was their best performance of the lot. Even though they made changes, he thought it was quite cohesive and slick. And I guess when you look at the other results against Italy, it paints it in a better light. Personally, I thought the win over Wales was a good win. I thought they played well there. Obviously, the dip came in Twickenham, and that's the disappointment in this campaign. It underlines again how difficult it is to win a slam. And then to finish, yeah, it wasn't the commanding, comprehensive, complete performance by any means that they would look for. But when I went back through it, I saw lots of good bits in there. Again, I think there's never a game this Ireland team plays where they're just rubbish for 80. There's always good patches. And I thought the second half performance was good from them. It probably deserved more points than it got, to be honest. And they were obviously all over the Scottish try-line on several occasions. Some of that is in their own control, not finishing. Other bits are just a bit unlucky and getting held up a couple of times. And the Furlong try, which looked like a score to me, being chalked off. But certainly in the second quarter in particular, Ireland were quite poor. And we might get into the nuts and bolts of that. But on the whole, yeah, pretty decent performance. And Ireland started strong and maybe their performance level dipped away. Others definitely came good. And I think the fact that England and France were excellent in the last couple of rounds paints this championship win probably in a better light again for me. Like at the start, I was thinking this is just a really poor championship. It's going to be a kind of, we were talking about procession for Ireland, but that wasn't the case. Other teams started to pick up their form, and yeah, Ireland are champs. And it's the 16th time in what, 130 times of trying. So for me, it is really an excellent achievement.
Bernard Jackman and Murray Kinsella there on Monday's Rugby Weekly Extra. As I say, James Tracy joined us on Wednesday. It was a fascinating chat. These were his thoughts on Ireland's quick tap penalties, one of which obviously yielded Andrew Porter's crucial try against the Scots.
Yeah, the South African teams are really good at it as well. The Stormers have done some interesting ones. The Bulls also have done some interesting ones. If you're into to tap and go penalties, go geek out on, you can probably get them on YouTube, on all the different ones that they've come up with. In some of the URC games, you mightn't get to see because they're playing each other, or you know, Irish fans mightn't get to see them as much. But when we're looking through for a bit of inspiration, you know, when I was in Leinster, it was always kind of some of the French teams, mainly the South African teams were very innovative in the different kind of plays they come up with. And like it's, so you're talking percentages. So Leinster's strike rate was between 60 and 80% from 5 meter tap and goes versus 50% if we went to the corner. So like it's a no brainer to get good at that. And it's up to teams then to try stop you. And I feel like once teams get good at it, then, you know, it's a tough one to give up because your percentages of getting a score or at least another penalty are through the roof versus most other options.
And that data holds true for other teams as well. I know an analyst called Brian Fitzpatrick who actually has done a big study on that. And you know, the 5 meter tap is your best option because obviously you're removing the possibility for your own error and the opposition stealing it. But it was funny, throughout this championship, I mean, they probably hadn't had as many 5 meter chances, but you'd be kind of waiting for them to pull something cool out of the bag. Andy Farrell mentioned after the game, they'd worked on three options for this game. One of them, they just went direct. Sheehan made a really good carry, but he said the third one is still in the back pocket. So looking forward to seeing that get pulled out.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully they'll have a few more as well in the back pocket for South Africa in the summer. So it'll be an interesting one.
That was former Leinster and Ireland hooker James Tracy on Wednesday's Rugby Weekly Extra. For two hour-long additional podcast per week. Head over to the42.ie/extra. You'll also get access to all of our feature writing, interviews, analysis, as well as our other podcasts. How about The Football Family with Gavin Cooney, David Snaid, and Shane Keegan? Those boys are killing it at the moment. It's one of my favorites. It's the42.ie/extra. Listen, you can just visit there and make your own mind up. We'll be back on Monday for subscribers when we'll discuss the provinces games in the URC and the first round of the Women's Six Nations, with Ireland taking on France in Le Mans tomorrow. Le Mans to fuck Ireland. That was gratuitous. I'm going to leave you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Catch you on Monday. Take care.
But the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Driver's got names.